Blog Talk Radio.
Well, great Friday. Thank you, everyone, for coming on today. My name is Kimberly Silas. I am your host on today. I have the awesome and amazing team along with me. I have Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap Jr. and my sidekick, Ms. Mama Mary Williams. We're just coming on today, just showing the appreciation for the favor of God. And just wanting to offer a sense of encouragement to anyone on today that is listening. You are listening to Do Your Health Is Your Wealth. Again, my name is Sister Kimberly Silas, and I have a testimony of empowerment. I have a testimony of overcoming. I have a testimony that I believe and hold dear in my heart, that all the things that we are seeking is actually seeking us. I take great pride in the fact that I have successfully lost over 160 pounds, and that is not a physical testimony. That is a spiritual testimony, just adding emphasis to the grace and the abundance and the blessings that God will bestow upon your life when you just actually show us a solemn and wholehearted commitment that you desire change. Today's message is On the Other Side of the Storm. And this message came to me after the hurricane scare that we had. We had Irma, Jose, and followed by Maria. And I want to share a quick testimony with you. Both of my parents are elderly and have chosen to retire in their home state of Florida. As you know, Florida was the eye of the storm and of the most concern. My father recently had open heart surgery. He's recovering well, thank God. And my mother is challenged with symptoms of diabetes, and the basic being diabetic neuropathy. She has challenges with mobility. Well, of course, when we heard the expectation and the forecast of Irma, I pleaded with my parents to come back to Atlanta, allow me to travel to Florida, pick them up a week before the storm, and bring them back. Well, if you are familiar with Floridians, Floridians have gone through hurricane after hurricane, and they are quite resistant to leaving their home at the threat of storm. So as a result of them refusing to listen to my suggestion, they were quite defiant in not wanting to leave. I waited till the last minute until it was too late for me to travel into Florida, and it was not suggested for them to try and travel out because of the congestion that had piled up on Highway 75 leading up north. Long story short, I worried myself into a stupor. I was so incredibly concerned about what's going to happen to my family that I worried myself into a stupor. And physically, I was ill. Headaches, lightheadedness, nausea, upset stomach. I was so incredibly concerned. But let me tell you what happened. Thank God, thank our amazing, abundant God. My parents were just fine. They were out of power for approximately 48 hours. But other than that, there was no damage done to their area, no loss of life, no significant setbacks, and they were back up on their feet within 48 hours. Well, this is what the worryation had done for me. I'm still sick, I'm still lightheaded, I'm still overly concerned, and my small city in Stone Mountain, Georgia, was without power for 6 days. The concerns that I had for my mom and dad had actually shifted to me, worrying, not putting enough faith in what God had in the intent of God. And I think it was a normal level of concern, but because I worried so incredibly much, I had to laugh at myself. I was so worried about what was going to transpire in my mom and dad's hometown that I had no consideration that I was in the threat of storm. And that brought me to today's topic, on the other side of the storm. I was sharing with one of my colleagues earlier today that there is an appearance of storm. I don't choose to reflect on all that is bad. I wanted to reflect on the things of God that are good and of good courage. And I came into today's meditation, which I want to share with you, and it's coming out of Psalm 27:14, and it says, "Trust in the Lord and be of good courage. Ye trust in the Lord." And it's called God's Good Prevails. When we view life through the lenses of limitation, it is easy to believe that there is not enough, that we must defend ourselves against threats to our good. God's will for our life is good, good in every area. The good of God prevails no matter what. When we begin each day with this spiritual truth, we prime our consciousness to allow the good of God to flow through and of us. I embrace this truth that I am one with God's unlimited good. With this truth as the foundation of my life, I can do, walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I can fear no evil. God's good is with me always. Everything concerning me works out for my good. My mind is rooted in goodness. My eyes see only good, and I am an extension of God's good. I thank you, God, for the order in me, through me, around me, and through the Christ that dwells in me, and so it is. Again, I trust in the Lord, and I am of good courage. Ye trust in the Lord. Psalms 27:14. And that's pretty much where I am right now, because if we reflect on only the perception of lack and limitation, it has the ability to leave us powerless, overwhelmed, and physically not feeling well. And I just want to reflect on, I know that the truth, that a perception is not a fact. When we perceive that everything is half empty, everything is not enough, everything is woe is me, then that is what you will receive. My God brother is in town, and he shared with me recently, and we chuckled on the fact that whatever it is in life you are seeking is actually seeking you. And this morning when I woke up, that's one of the things that he said to me: remember, whatever you're seeking is seeking you. In short, if you only reflect on those things that are negative, those things that are not of good courage and of not of love, you may have the propensity of attracting those things to you. So I am just over the moon excited in the fact that perception is not fact, and that I am in the right alignment with the promises that God has over my life, and it requires me to be disciplined and consistent. I choose to reflect on the promises that God has over my life versus what I see going on around me. I recently shared that we work to pay bills, to maintain the household, to live a good life, to set up a legacy. Whatever your reasons are for the input that you do in the workforce, there has to be an overall outcome. And when your overall outcome has the appearance that all you do is work, 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 it can be overwhelming. And you have to re-reflect, if that's a word, re-reflect on what it is you're doing maybe you we can realign our goals or come up with a new spending pattern or redefine our budget. Whatever it is that we need to do to keep us in reflection that God is ultimately in control and that we have more empowerment than we give ourselves credit for. And basically that's where I'm at with that today, Dr. Dunlap. Can you add any input on the topic this afternoon?
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, you do such a tremendous job of just really just giving us in a 10-minute time frame what it may take others to say in a whole hour, including myself. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people, you're talking about on the other side of the storm. And just to add a couple of things, one thing that was kind of interesting was as you were worrying yourself, how you were worrying yourself, the
mm-hmm.
Spirit of God was also speaking into others, myself primarily, saying it is not like Kim to be unresponsive. It's not like Kim not to call back or text, even if it's something short. And so I think that matters when you start talking about your health is your wealth. Because when people
mm-hmm.
go through things and their health is something that is also that is taking a toll, taking a beating, people's wealth also takes a beating as well. Because during that time, this is not the case, but what if there was somebody that said, I wanted to buy 100 cases of your product?
Yeah.
The health has now interrupted your wealth. And so I want people to think about it from that perspective, because people continue to ask God for things. People are continuing seeking God for these financial related matters. And what God is saying, I need you to be healthy. Because
mm-hmm.
If you're not healthy, I'm not going to drop $10,000 into it. There's somebody that said, Dr. Dunlap, if I just had $2,500, I can take care of my credit situation, because they have all these small credit card accounts and credit bills. But if they had just $2,500, and I'm not saying or implying that this is the same thing with this individual, but can
mm-hmm.
you imagine, can we just think for a moment that God has $2,500 that he can easily get to that person?
Yeah.
You know, because he's God, right? And
yeah.
And if we can imagine that God has that $2,500 for that individual, we also should be trying to imagine that God would want to give that $2,500 to that individual if they're in a healthy state of mind. Because oftentimes when you're not in a healthy state of mind, you do things that you're not supposed to do or that you would not normally do.
Mm-hmm.
So the connection that you're bringing to this whole thing about after the storm,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot to be said. Because after the storm is where a lot of people are living right now. And I know
mm-hmm.
this is maybe a little twist from where you are, but a lot of people are living after the storm and not in good places. Puerto Rico is living after the storm right now.
Wow.
That other island that begins with a B is living after the storm, Kim. Folks in Houston are living after the storm. And so it's easy to look after the storm, but I also believe that God wants us to look at things before we get into the storm. And so maybe if we can take a moment to say, you know what, my city didn't get hit like Houston. My city didn't get hit like Florida, you know, Miami, you know, different place. My country didn't get hit like Puerto Rico. And so since my country didn't get hit like Puerto Rico, since my city didn't get hit like Houston and the other locations, then maybe I should be looking at some things right now, trying to get healthy right now, so that if, God forbids, he allows something to happen where I live, in my church, in my family, that I have a better outlook going in so that I can see the other side of the storm and have enough faith and courage in God that, you know what, we're in this thing right now, but I know on the other side it's going to be good. See, sometimes it's hard for folk to see what's on the other side of the storm because they can only see the storm that they're in. sometimes it's hard for folks to see the other side of the storm because they think the storm ain't going to hit them. I digress.
You know, Dr. Dunlap, you thank you so incredibly much. I am that person that didn't think the storm was going to hit me in more ways than just that physical storm. And you are absolutely right. Being accountable and being present is something I preach every week. And I allowed my worryation, and I think I may even have fostered a platform of self-pity, doubt and self-pity, to impact everyone around me and inclusive of my team. And for that, I humbly apologize. But you are absolutely right. I wasn't anticipating the storm would hit me. I wasn't anticipating that it would hit me physically. I was out of power for six days. I wasn't anticipating the storm would hit me from a physical perspective, because I spoke earlier on the segment that I was one of those people that prided myself on my fine-tuned state of mind and the way that I handled money. But I was credit card rich and finances poor. So there are a lot of areas that I can reflect back at this point and say that I was not anticipating that the storm would impact me. And you really broke it down when you spoke on Puerto Rico. I'm just speechless when I realize and reflect on what these people are experiencing for an extended, unknowing amount of time. And our prayers certainly go out with all the survivors in every area and all of the challenges that one may incur as a result of it. So thank you for repositioning me and getting me back on track.
Well, hey, Kim, in all actuality, the thanks really goes to Shatara, because last night on the PRF table, it was Shatara who, towards the end of the show, she brought some of that out to us. She brought up about how there are people on dialysis.
Mm.
What happens to those individuals? What happens to those individuals that, and oh my goodness, I think it just fits right in right now. Those individuals on dialysis. What about those individuals that need power to be hooked up for oxygen? What about those individuals that need water for certain things? And to be without it, this is something that we need to be talking about on the other side of the storm, because, you know, there's some people that have certain means, and I'm not even going to get into the country, you know, this part of the country of the United States that had the means but was told, no, they're not going to provide the means to Puerto Rico as if they were some foreign country until the storm started coming again. And then they said, okay, let's release some of the resources to be able to help the part of the country that is not considered a part of this country. I put a whole bunch in there, but it's out there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, go look it up.
Wow.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wealth. Your show is about the connection between health and wealth. And I'm glad that every week you don't get on this show and don't come on the air, and only thing you're talking about is getting rich.
Yeah.
Be healthy so that you can be rich. Uh-uh. I'm glad that this is not what this show is about, because I probably wouldn't be able to listen to it, you know, because a lot of folk want to be rich. But you see rich people all the time ignoring their health. You see rich people all the time on videos and on other TV shows and you know, movies are fictional, but things on the news and people that are in the limelight and you see a lot of the unhealthy habits that go along with being rich. But I'm here to tell you, Kim, when you are wealthy, you consider your health, because you know your health is tied into your wealth. But when you're rich. Yeah. Even today, had a lot going on, a lot of different meetings this morning, and it's been just a really busy and productive week, and I had to run and throw some things in the post office and go to the bank, and had to come back and meet somebody at my office, and I was just going to go buy McDonald's, because I said, you know what, I need those 1,000 calories right now, so let me just go and get the Big Mac with fries and a drink, because I know it's going to be 1,000-something calories. But something said, Dodo, stop tripping. So I go to Wendy's and I get that apple pecan salad, the half portion, and I get a grilled chicken wrap, things that I've eaten before. So I already like those. Because all that God has us doing right now within this ministry and on these radio shows, I need to be healthy. Yeah. And the more healthier I am, the more it contributes to how wealthy we are. Not me, done that, but how wealthy we are. We saw a movie. One of the members of our church, Ty Manns, is a writer, and there's a movie that's coming out today, and I cannot recall the name of it, but I will in a moment. And I won't spoil it for you, but I was reminded about how somebody had a physical ailment, and their physical ailment was tied to their wealth for their family. Yeah. So just that little part right there was like, nah, because you ain't really been eating all that healthy. You ain't been eating that many green stuff, that much green stuff this week. Your body knows it. You know, nah, I need to do the right thing. Because again, coming on the other side of that storm, don't be complaining, eating hamburgers and hot dogs every day, but then don't complain about diabetes or high blood pressure after the storm.
After the storm.
And what happens with that? Finances get affected. So go ahead, Cam. Go ahead, please. I'm sorry.
No, you're absolutely right. All of that is so incredibly true. I thought this was a great opportunity to segue into my personal testimony. Everyone knows I've lost over 160 pounds. I fluctuate back and forth every 30 days with approximately 6 pounds. And I'm comfortable with that because my goal at this point is to train on building a core and muscle strength. Muscle weighs more than fat, so I don't complain about the weight gain, but I have the propensity, as anyone else, to slide back into poor behavior. And as a result, on the other side of the storm, I lost a significant amount of grocery that was here in the house. And family and friends came together, and we were eating things that typically we would not eat. But let me share with you, Dr. Dunlap and Mama. I prepare my meals on a weekly basis. I know what I'm going to eat pretty much for the whole 7 days. I always add a snack element in there so that in the event I want something special, I don't deprive myself of it. But for the most part, I'm regimented on what I eat. And Dr. Dunlap, for approximately 7 days, maybe a little more, I've been sporadically incorporating the untraditional pre-processed food, hamburgers, packaged chips. What else did I have? I think I had some fried chicken along the way. Yesterday I attended a homegoing service and the food was prepared for us. But let me share this with you. Do you know my body completely rejected 90% of the foods I was eating? It was horrible. I was physically ill as a result of my body transitioning into a new state of being, and it's requiring or it calls for a more healthy palate. And it's easy to get, and they even taste somewhat different now. But Dr. Dunlap, I can so identify with your choice to skip the Big Mac and go for the apple salad. You made the right decision. Even though from a weight perspective, your body would be able to tolerate an additional 1,000 calories without causing a significant impact. But, oh, my word, how bad you feel when you start putting a foreign level of product in the body. I did not feel well at all. It may have attributed to my dizziness, my lightheadedness, my upset stomach. I know I was doing a lot of worrying, unnecessarily, I might add, but I physically didn't feel well. And I think it was last night I said, enough is enough. I refuse. After we made it home from the home going, and in any homegoing scenario, it's emotional. We go through spiritual periods of uplift, and then you're back down again. So I can understand why my body felt the fatigue, but I think it had a large percentage to do with the product I was putting in my body. I just didn't feel well. And when you said that Big Mac, I was like, woo, I feel a headache coming on.
One of the things, and I mentioned this to you earlier, Kim, but one of the things mm-hmm. about it is we here at the PRF Teacher Ministry, we're going to do a lot more to promote what you're promoting, because you're a part of this right. family. And I say this to anybody, I'm going to be the biggest proponent of what I know that God is doing, regardless of who mm-hmm. it is. And it's time to start dealing with what are some of the things that you've actually dealt with. Because you're after the storm. You're after yeah. the storm right now. And so people hear about people all the time being after the storm, whether it's from a health perspective, which is your mantra, or whether it's a financial perspective or a stewardship perspective, which is mine. People hear, and I told somebody yesterday, I said, you know, there was somebody that said, man, I like to come in and be a part of, you know, when you deal with credit and debt, but I got to get my credit first. And I credit straight first. I said, nah. I said, I don't want you once you get your credit straight. I said, the reality is some folk are going to look at me because mine is knocking at the door of an 800. And we're like, but he already there. Well, mm-hmm. yeah, you can't see as I was going through it. You just see me on the other side of that storm. You don't see me as I was robbing Peter to pay Paul and had to make some different decisions. You wasn't with me over these years. But mm-hmm. the person that's sitting there at a 500 and is like, look, I don't use my credit card for anything unless an extreme emergency. So that person showing discipline. Well, you may relate to that person. That person who has a 400 may relate to that person that has a 500 credit score, because they see yeah. that they're not over the hump yet. They're in a place of doing what needs to be done. And so with the products that you're offering, it's time to go ahead and really start putting that out there through the PRF channels, because we're coming upon a time, and I said this last night, where businesses and corporations and companies, small and large, are already planning to get your money.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are planning to get your money because we know what happens in November. And now they're not waiting until the third week in November or 2 weeks before. You're going to, and I told them, I said, starting tomorrow, do not be surprised if you start seeing stuff about Black Friday. Because they're already planning to get as much money as they can. And a lot of things yeah. that they're going to offer are going to be things that's going to be related to the health. How are they going to be related to the health, to your health? Because they're going to take money away from things that will cost a little bit more. It takes a little bit more sometimes to eat healthy, Kim.
Yeah.
Yeah, kale costs a little bit more than spinach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's different things. And so if I can get as much money out of you right now, then that's less money that you have to put into that healthy lifestyle change that you may want to have. But when you saying, you know what, I got to get this toy, I got to get this device, I got to put insurance on this cell phone, all those things, your health is your wealth. You don't go to, you know what, I'm going to still try this organic food or this gluten-free mm-hmm. food or this, I'm going to try these all natural this and that instead of getting the high fructose corn syrup juice. You know, it costs for that. But how are you going to put the plans in place right now? How are you going to say, you know what, I got to make some changes now? Because the reality is when it comes, it's coming so fast and furious. It's going to make your head spin. That's all you're going to see on advertising on TV.
That's
spend
right.
this money here. Black Friday, spend this money here. This is going to be on sale. Listen, I've been in sales before, so this is what I know. Something that is a 30% discount right now, may not be a 30% discount of what it was 4 months ago. It may have been 30% off $10 right now, but 3 months ago, whatever was $10 may have been $12. So are you really saving, or are you getting wrapped up in a storm?
Storm. And you know, Dr. Dunlap, with that being said, on the other side of the storm, for a lot of people, the other side of the storm will be January when they're waiting on their income tax to pay for debt they created in October, November, and December. The other side
of
the storm, it's a vicious, ugly cycle, and it ties back into your original statement. What are we doing pre-storm? What is our pre-storm activity? You know, a couple years back, one of my friends called me and said, Kim, I don't have Christmas prepared for my children. But I watched him the whole year party out of control, and I was like, you act like they changed the date on you. Christmas been Christmas December 25th, you know, consistently since I've been alive. And this is, and you know, Dr. Dunlap, I have the propensity to be judgmental, opinionated, and a bit overwhelming. And I don't do it out of spite or self-righteousness. I do it out of concern. When I say, look at this, do it this way, I suggest. And these are to the people that I love the most. And the national anthem, when it comes to that, is I am grown, let me do it my way. And the same person came back to me and said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, you act like they changed the date. And we are empowered to, Dr. Dunlap, I like a gift from the thrift store the same way I would a gift from Macy's. It's not the cost of the gift. It's the functionality and the heart that went into obtaining it. So my belief system is so strategic, I think is the best word. And I want all of my people to believe and feel the same way that I do, and trying to encourage and empower can oftentimes be taxing, can definitely be taxing. But you summed it up right. What is our pre-storm activity? What does it look like, and what are we willing to do? Because we know it's coming. And every year, January, we in line at the Star Spangled Banner Tax Return Center, giving these people $200 or $300 of our return because we need and want it right now. That ties into the truth, and all of it comes full circle when you say your health is your wealth, because your mental health, your spiritual health, and your consciousness plays a big part on how you execute your daily affairs. And we know. Yesterday at the homegoing service, you know, it was a perfect opportunity to say anybody who doesn't have a personal relationship with God, you know, just raise your hand right now. And I remember sitting there feeling how much knowledge, I know everybody's process is different, but how much can this church impart on these people when it's so much that they need to know, and it's so much that they need to do other than attend church on Sunday to live a full, prosperous life? I just say that we're here to encourage, offer insight, and to uplift anybody that's going through the perception of a season of challenge, loss, or defeat, because that's what it is, the perception. We have to change the way we see things and be willing to do something different.
I'm just blown away. I'm blown away, especially your comment by telling somebody that has said, I don't know what I'm going to do for Christmas. I can add a couple of things if I can. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm going to do when my wife's birthday come around. I don't know what I'm going to do when my kid's birthday come around or my husband's birthday comes around. or our anniversary comes around. I don't know what I'm going to do. I know summertime is coming, but we're not. I don't know what I'm going to do about trying to take my wife on vacation, or about I don't know what I'm going to do about telling the church that pastor needs to take a couple of weeks off because he or she hasn't been on a vacation. I'm not talking about, see, you can go around and preach all around the country and all around the city, and you can take a day off for 4 hours, but that ain't no vacation. Ask your wife, ask your husband and your kids. I can't do that. But none of these things, most of these things are things that are set in stone. So that lets you know that you have an opportunity for those things in most cases, we want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know those things are coming, I'm not going to chastise you. I'm going to say, you know Christmas was coming. When did you start working on your plan to be able to have some things for Christmas? Now,
yeah.
You can't tell me that you had any type of plan at all. If Valentine's Day for your sweetie is hinged upon you getting the fat income tax return, that ain't a plan.
Mm-hmm. That's not a plan.
Mm-mm. If that bonus that you're expecting to get during that third quarter, which they usually give right before Christmas, if you're banking on that bonus, that's not a plan. See, these plans are things that you have more of a control over. I'm gonna work 5 extra hours every week, and I'm gonna take that money and I'm gonna put that money to the side. In regards of what happens, that's gonna be the money I'm gonna use for this.
Mm-hmm.
That's a plan. But to know that a storm is coming. I mean, you said it earlier at the beginning of your show, how you
yeah.
had a lot of Floridians that they've gone through that so much, and that says a whole nother thing. That speaks to this whole notion of when people have gone through the same storm over and over and over again, a lot of times they become complacent to the storm. They grow
mm-hmm.
numb to the fact that the storm is coming. So they're comfortable with, well, you know, this thing is going to hit. We're going to be all right. We're going to ride it out. Can I share something with you? We've been talking on the PRF table all month from prepare for prosperity or poverty. And so for folks to always think that they're going to just ride it out, go ask all of the people that was in Genesis chapter 6. Some of you may have heard the story of Noah and the ark. So there were some folk that they didn't know about the storm that was coming. So they couldn't ride it out. The Bible is really clear in the fact that it says that God said, I'm going to wipe all of them out. But then you look at Noah, and again, there was nothing
mm-hmm.
they could do. But Noah, he told Noah, you're going to be, I'm going to cause it to rain for 40 days. So we always hear about the 40 days, but it was 40 days that God caused it to rain, but it took 150 days for the waters to subside. So you may think that, well, since the Lord said it's going to be 40 days of rain, and then after those 40 days is over, then boom, it's going to be automatic. And so on the other side of that storm, they had to wait for the waters to subside
mm-hmm.
before they can do anything. So oftentimes, even being on the other side of the storm, there's a blessing in being on the other side of the storm, but the other side of the storm doesn't mean that everything was back to normal. There's some folk, Kim, just take what you're talking about today. There are some folk who have God has intervened and helped them to beat cancer. But there's some folk that are on the other side of that thing, and they can say they're cancer free, but their life is not the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's some financial debts that are there for a lot of people that have been in that situation. Their life has been spared. God has given them life again. But it's still not the same with $70,000, $100,000 worth of debts. Their life is not the same when they can't no longer work because the chemo that they were taking, they couldn't work. So they had to leave a job that they was
mm-hmm.
close to retirement in. How has their health just affected their wealth? All I had was 7 years, some may have said, 7 years to retire, and look at what happened. They're on the other side of the storm. They got their health, but they don't have their wealth.
Mm-hmm. Wow. On the other side, how do you recommend when we reflect the health portion? We fully understand the loss of one with the perceived wealth, the riches, the finances, the fiscal abilities. How would you encourage someone in that season of storm? You have life, but you don't have the perception of financial wealth.
That is where community is involved. See, we have grown so accustomed in our churches, many of our churches and in this country, of this individualistic mentality. You know what? While I'm in the storm, I should be looking for you with the life preserver.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm in the storm, I should be looking. Watch this. While I'm on the airplane, the cabin pressure goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And that little mass drops. While I'm having a hard time, I should be looking at the next person that's getting their mask on, that's going to be able to help me get my mask on if I need some help.
Yeah.
Same thing, vice versa. If I'm the one that's able to get my mask on quickly, I'm supposed to be the one looking for other folks who are having a hard time getting their mask on. How do we encourage it? We encourage community. We spend, I'm going to say we. I know there's diverse. I can just say my folk. I'm going to talk about my folk. My folk, black folk, we spend trillions of dollars every year on stuff. In the black church, it's about $8 million that comes through the black church per year. So there really shouldn't be as many, many problems. There should be a whole bunch of reserves set up for people inside the storm. So how can we encourage? Okay, so maybe the Lord needs to remove some selfish folks out of leadership. Maybe the Lord needs to put a stumbling block in the way, or a cement block, or a flood wall in the way of trying to build this little building where that money can be used to help somebody else in the community versus somebody just having their name on a building or a name on a brick. Maybe the storehouse needs to be used for the storehouse, so that how do we encourage people? We encourage people to go to the storehouse that's been claimed, or go to the church that's been claimed to be a storehouse, but yet the storehouse don't have nothing in it, and you can't see what's in it because it's so secret. Maybe in the middle of the storm, instead of just encouraging folk that the Lord's going to make a way while you sitting there with your pockets fat, the Lord done made a way. It's in your pocket. Maybe we can encourage some folks that while you're in the storm, you got to do like Jeremiah 20, the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, not the part, chapter, verse 11, but the part where God said, I need you to build houses and stay a while. I need you to continue to marry and have children. I need you to plant and eat from the gardens and from things that you're planting. Meaning there's some stuff I need you to do while you're in captivity. Well, while you're in the middle of the storm, I need to encourage you to get up off your tail and do some things. Come volunteer with us. We got plenty to do. that's about helping people in their lifestyle. Maybe while you're in the storm, right? Maybe while they're in the storm, we will go ahead and we'll pay the initial investment for them to be a part of your business, Kim. Now you get out there and you work it, dog. You get out there, you work it. But you don't have, in the middle of the storm, you don't have the initial investment. I got somebody right now that we're dealing with a partnership right now, and there was something very, very lucrative that was offered. And I said, I don't have time to work this, but I wish I knew 10 people. Trust me, I wrote it down. I wish I knew 10 people at that time that had an opportunity to work this business that was presented to me. Do you know how that would have changed the landscape of a whole bunch of people in the storm?
Yeah.
It'd change the land. It'd change the landscape. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about what you have going on, and let's work towards that thing versus not just throwing a couple of dollars at something, thinking that you're going to be all right. Nah, you broke this month. You don't have no plan in place, so I could throw some dollars at it, but what you going to do next month? Maybe in the middle of the storm, I can tell you no and get out of God's way because God led you into that storm. See, folk don't want to talk about that type of stuff, Kim. Sometimes God leads people into the storm, Mama, for their own disobedience. He did it in the Bible. You think he ain't doing it in 2017? Wrong. You got a misunderstanding of who God is, or you just don't want to believe the Bible. Not that part. You just want the blessings.
Quite often, yes, Dr. Dunlap, you have said a mouthful because we, and I said this, I don't know how accurate it is or if I'm conveying it accurately, but we treat God like Santa Claus. We want him to give, you know, constantly open up packages and gifts. And, you said that changing the landscape of the storm or changing the landscape often requires us to do the work. You know, there is opportunity after opportunity, and someone will invest in you. But it requires us to do the work. And I think that there is a lack of education or a lack of understanding what it takes to make business work, and they're so used to the giving that they don't know. I think, Dr. Dunlap, let me skip ahead. I think you shared with me once before this young lady that took her income tax return and paid her rent for a whole year. That was an amazing strategy. That was a plan, you know, that will work. And I see so many times when we get these income tax returns, we're either paying previous debt that we accumulated on the latter end of the previous year, or we go into what I refer to as ghetto fabulous and just go spending out of control, you know. And then in a matter of less than 30 days, you are back in the same financial rut that you were in the entire 11 months of the previous year. So I think a level of education is required on how money works and what you are empowered to do with the money. That individual that paid that rent up for a whole 12 months was in a much, much better position to make more responsible financial choices throughout the year. Because when you're behind the eight ball and you're constantly pinching off bit by bit by bit just to get through a 28-30-day cycle, when that following month rolls around, you're in the same position you were in the previous month. If you set yourself up to better strategize, you'll be able to make better choices. So I think education and execution. And like you said, having a platform and a community of support, you know, and following instruction. When somebody has made it through, you were sharing on your credit score, it would behoove us to follow the strategy of proven success. Success leaves clues. So if you were successfully able to get your credit score up close to 800, we need to be doing almost identical to what you've done, which is the equivalent of following suggestions, you know, and sometimes people don't want to listen or they become offended when they place their age on the fact that I'm grown and I don't have to listen to you.
You're right. So you know what I say to that, Kim? This is the answer to the question. The answer to the question is that there are a lot of people that say they want greatness, that say they want prosperity, that say they want wealth, that say they want good health. They say it with their mouths. I'm not going to say that it's not in their heart, but there's somewhere, there has to be a disconnect somewhere, whether it's with that person's heart, whether it's with their spirit, whether it's with their intellect, whether it's with their finances. There's a disconnect somewhere. When you have the tools afforded to you, you have the mindset of moving forward in this greatness, in this place of prosperity with God, and then you don't do it. So here's the solution. The solution is you offer what you offer to those mm-hmm. individuals who say, I'm ready. See, it's one or the other. You have individuals that say that they're ready. And so when you say that you're ready, and I say, meet me at such and such place at 6 o'clock, and you're there at 6 o'clock, you've shown me something. You've given me something to work with.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, there's a bunch of people that God has called and ordained to be the ones to keep begging you to be great.
Yeah.
Dunlap ain't the guy to be begging you to be great. I may have been the guy before, Mama, but today, 2017, September 29th, I'm not the guy. I'm not the guy. I may be the guy driving the train, but I'm not going to keep stopping the train. You know how much work it takes to stop a train?
Ooh.
It takes a lot of work to stop a train. You don't stop a train like you stop a car. A train going 70 miles an hour does not stop at the same rate of speed as a car going 70 miles an hour. So I can't just stop the train because you decided that you were going to oversleep. The Lord has been speaking through all of us for a while now, Kim. This whole journey for you started with PRF, started back in January.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of things that you gave during your time during being a guest on the PRF table back in January of this year. They can go and look at it on blogtalkradio.com. But what have they done from hearing that up until the present day? So that's the – and see, God has a way when you don't want to get on the train to let you stay in the bed. Stay asleep.
Yeah.
Stay asleep. But we got to understand the other side of this coin is this. I know I'm talking from a coin that has so many different sides. I can do that. The other side of the coin is this. There's scripture that will back up what I'm saying. There's times when Jesus will say, I never knew you. I don't have anything to do with you. I don't know who you are. Scripture backs that up. Just go and look at Matthew 25, I believe. So people can't have this mindset about God being a God of second chances, thinking that you're always going to get a second chance. I said it before, and I'll say it again. 5 of those 10 virgins didn't get a second chance. And the hard, harsh words that people may say, that they're harsh. If I say them to somebody, well, you should have got up and went to work. I'm sorry that you just got fired from your job and you don't have anything to eat and feed your 3 or 4 children and your wife, but I'm not doing it. Not I can't. No, I'm not going to help you. See, folk want to act like that's being cruel, but okay, go read that passage of scripture that I just gave you and tell me, and I want to hear you say out your mouth, Jesus was cruel. I'm going to post something later, hopefully if I remember, with something that you said about Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
Stop trying to pimp God.
Stop.
Acting like God is Santa Claus. That's not God. God don't work like that. He ain't a genie in a bottle. God is a spirit. He is all everything. So God sees everything going on. He sees your laziness. He sees your tiredness. He sees your fears. He sees your procrastination. He sees your pride. He sees all of that. And God has some things that he's trying to put in so many people's hands. He can't do it. I know somebody right now got the blessing of their life right there waiting on them, but can't put aside the pride. But see, they don't know the blessing is right there, Mama.
Yes.
They don't know the blessing is right there because all they're doing is looking at what's going on in the storm. Well, here's the reality. You can be outside with a bunch of dirt.
Yes.
And just kick up a bunch of dirt. And it'll be dusty. So once you out there kicking up a bunch of dirt, running around in a circle, kicking up a bunch of dirt, having temper tantrums and all this other kind of foolishness, thinking somebody owes you something, you creating a storm a sandstorm for yourself. God ain't doing it. So this person that I know has created a sandstorm for themselves. So now they're in the storm. Well, you may not get the help you're looking for. But on the other side of that storm is the blessing. If they just get their act together. If they just come with a repentant heart and say, Lord, forgive me. If they go to those individuals who they done messed over and burned some bridges with and say, you know what? First of all, do you like the child in Luke 15? Father, I'm using the wrong word, but I have offended you and my father. I've ticked you off and my father. I've embarrassed you and my father. And then when he goes to that father, I may preach this on Sunday, but when he goes to the father, guess what? The father ain't even let him get it all out. He was prepared to say, I've offended God and you. But the father ain't even let him get it all out. Just come on here, son. And that's where I think a lot of your listeners are, Kim. God, just come on. Just come on and get it together. Because you would hate to be somebody that lived in Puerto Rico.
Ooh.
And the health that you could have. I mean, you think about this. A lot of people hunkered down. A lot of people couldn't evacuate. So the storm didn't kill everybody on Puerto Rico, right?
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine that if there was an island that was somewhat close to them, say within 2 miles, and now all the storm has passed over. What about those individuals whose health and their lung capacity won't even allow them, and their weight won't even allow them to backstroke for 2 miles, let alone a quarter of a mile, let alone 100 feet, let alone 50 feet? And they don't have the physical resources. So all they have is their health. A lot of people's health right now is a determinant factor on sickness over in Puerto Rico because they don't even have potable water. While I'm sitting here looking at my bottle of Dasani on my office desk, while I'm sitting here looking at my Yeti that I filled up in the refrigerator. I'm done.
Dr.
I ain't supposed to be doing all this on. I ain't supposed to be doing all this on Friday, Kim. This is supposed to be my lax day.
I'm so grateful to God that you allow Spirit to move you, and I will always, always attest to the fact that you have blessed so many people. Dr. Dunlap, I was a complete and wholehearted stranger to you, but you allow God's Spirit to know that there is something that this young lady needs, and I am willing to impart all that I have into her, and I am just blessed as a result of your obedience. I can't say thank you enough. And, you know, I'm sitting up here. I must admit to my team, to my callers, I was in a stupor, in a state of self-pity. But when I think about on the other side of the storm, my storm is nothing compared to what our brothers and sisters, our family and friends in Puerto Rico and other country and other places, not countries, other places are going through right now. I just want to throw in there really quickly, we're running close to the end of the segment, and I want to encourage all of our callers to meet us right here regularly every Thursday at 8:00. We have the PRF Table Ministry, and that's at blogtalkradio.com/PRF Table. You can also dial in at 347-215-7934. I had to get that out there. And just a wholehearted prayer for everyone impacted, all of the families, and just that God move in a miraculous way and make provision for everyone that is going through the experience or the perception of lack, loss, or limitation. And I just want to thank everyone for being here today, and just say great Friday, and we here at Your Health is Your Wealth on Blog Talk Radio and the PRF Ministry, we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we thank God for you. Thank you all for signing on today, and have an amazing, amazing week. Blessings.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.